house of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations.
Hi, I'm Dawn. Visit us on the web and claim your free gift at www.tsiyon.org. And remember, the views expressed on this program are solely our own and don't reflect the opinions of any network station or sponsor involved in bringing our program to you. Now, on the road to Zion with the remnant people of God, here's the voice of Zion in exile, Eliyahu ben David.
I brought you out of the nations.
Shalom, friends. Shalom, Dawn.
Shalom. The theme for today's program is Compass from the Ashes.
In the last program, it was Compass in the Ashes. This is Compass from the Ashes. Basically, the difference is this program is not as much about the past as it is about the future.
Right. So it's what you take away from this event that's occurred and how you go forward.
Where things are going. Some folks are listening to this program and they've been waiting for it.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had to interrupt the last program right in the middle of it.
Exactly. And for others who may be hearing this program first, haven't heard the last one.
Sure.
Go back and hear the last one first. You won't regret it. We're going to be taking up right in the middle of a prophetic message with this program. And we are going to kind of have a little recap. But it really is not going to take the place of going back and listening to the program.
Not
going to
do it justice.
No. Here's the deal. In early September 2011, at our Zion headquarters,
we had a big fire come.
Yeah, we had a big fire here in Texas. The biggest fire that ever happened in Texas. In fact, wildfire.
And of course, it's not even fair to say a wildfire because it was dozens, multiple fires all joining together.
Right. And our place was burned to the ground. Our studio, our house. It's been kind of a challenge over the last couple of months. And eventually what happened is we ended up coming back onto the property in what is temporary housing for us. We just did that recently in the early part of November. Something interesting happened the same weekend that we moved back onto the property.
I was focusing on packing up the family and my personal belongings, what things that I had acquired to do the ministry, my computer and so forth. And I was ready to pack up my computer. And suddenly I had that Holy Spirit kind of thing come on me that I needed to turn on my computer and look at my email. And when I did, there was no email. And then the email came. And it was Brother Mark asking us, can I come visit you?
At the time, we didn't know Mark. So I called Mark up and made arrangements to see him, which I did on the same weekend that we moved back to the property. When I saw him, after we had kind of got introduced and talked a little bit, it became evident that he wasn't just visiting for a social visit. That in fact, Mark is a man with a prophetic gift, and he was sent here. And Yahweh told him to read the words in the ashes of our property. You know, I could tell that he felt a little bit weird about saying this to me, yet he did say it to me, and I expected him, because I had been praying that Yahweh would send someone who would confirm the things that he had already been saying to me about the fire and about the property.
One of the pieces of personal trivia that really just tickles my funny bone about this is that I had been trying for an entire month to get the ashes, the debris cleaned up. And no matter what I did, it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And the minute Mark came, he read words in the ashes that Yahweh had given him to speak forth. Then the next day, all of that work I had already put in came to fruition. And some volunteers came over to help clean up the next day after he had left.
It's true. And they didn't get everything cleaned up, but they really cleaned up a lot. And he wouldn't have been able to read those ashes if that had happened differently.
No, it all happened in the right order at the right time.
Right. So it's all very interesting what happened. Well, if you have heard the last program, then you know he started out with 8 words that Yahweh gave him as he looked through the ashes. He spent a whole afternoon on his own out there looking through the ashes, and then later gave us these words.
Right. He had started with a question.
In fact, it was Yahweh that asked him, "What did you see in the ashes?" And then all of this came from that. And I'm not going to repeat all that because you can go back and hear it. Basically, the words that he's discussed already on the other program are foundation, trees, fence, and gate. Now, you might wonder how much prophetic material could come out of those words, and you'll be surprised if you haven't heard this already and you That's go true. Back and hear it. But for this particular 8 words, there are 4 more words left. That's where we're going to pick up today. But then following that, there are 7 more words that were given specifically for me, not so much connected with the fire. It's really more connected with the future. What happens from here? Mark, who had these prophetic words, clearly didn't even know himself the fullness of what he was saying. And it became clear as we had this interview and he was sharing. So I think you're going to find that real interesting when you hear this today. This is very significant, friends. I want to tell you that this prophetic word marks a turning point in the ministry here at Zion and in the things that we will be doing and how we will be doing them from this point forward. I want you to know the reason that I'm sharing these things with you today, because much of this message is really not for me. It really is for you. The things that Mark shared are things that Yahweh had already made known to me, but you really need to hear this from somebody who isn't me. And that is why I'm sharing this with you today, because this has importance for everyone who cares about the remnant of Israel and everyone who sets their hope on the prophetic promises for the remnant of Israel. You know, we have been presenting a lot of prophetic material over a period of years now on our program, and we've come to a place where we really are at a turning point. That's really what this is about. And I guess the last thing that I could say about this is these 7 words that were given by Mark, which he didn't even realize at the time, are not just random words. They go together into a comprehensive commission. This is a commission to accomplish a certain work of Yahweh. And when you hear this all the way through, just knowing that could help to pull this all together for you.
And we look forward to sharing those with you coming up next. The book of Revelation reveals that we are now living in the last days. However, Revelation was written by a Messianic Jew, which is why most interpreters have gotten Revelation all wrong. Now, Eliyahu ben David is writing a series of books that unseal Revelation from the Hebraic perspective it was written in. This is Revelation clearer and more certain than you have ever heard it before. Read a free sample of the Messianic Revelation series. Just take the link from www.tsiyon.org. to download your free sample from the Messianic Revelation series today. Welcome back. Now here are the next 4 words in the 8 words that Mark gave in the interview with Eliyahu.
And so he gave me the word neighbor, and he said his privacy with his neighbors has been uncovered, and they will not harm him. Those that get close to him in his life from now forward will not harm him. And the word neighbor is one living or located near another. And I always sensed that there, what I got out of this was that there have been people that have come in different forms, whether good or bad, that have meant to harm.
Yes.
And so somehow now, because this has been violated, that there's a justice that has happened that God will not will bring now people that will stand and support completely.
Well, this is a very encouraging word because, frankly, that is our biggest concern because we know the enemy always wants to bring in his people to ruin things. And so it's really good to know that Yahweh is protecting against that.
Yes. Now, this was interesting because I asked you a question. I said, which way did the fire come from? What direction? Right. Because God wanted me to ask you that.
Right.
So you said from the north.
Yes.
So the north wind. And so he told me to write down north wind. And this is what he said. He has been preaching that the winds will blow. It had to come first in his life. God's justice must come first because his words are, and I put in Eliyahu, are pure. It had to come like this. And that may sound strange to people, but I get it. And
yeah.
Do you get it? I mean,
I do because, you know, recently I've been teaching on Ezekiel. And what happened with Ezekiel is he had to experience the things that he was prophesying. And so he experienced them in a prophetic way before they actually were fulfilled on those to whom he was speaking. So, for instance, you know, we know about Ezekiel, Yahweh had him lay on his side for 390 days. He was actually experiencing something for that period of time that was going to come on Israel. A number of things happened to him. Even his wife was taken from him. And this was a picture of Yahweh's wife being taken from him. So you being a prophet of Yahweh means that you do have to experience the word that you're speaking. I think this is something that many times people don't really understand. So this means you're going to have to deal with some tribulation in your life. And, you know, we've had that in our life, and I expect it will continue as time goes on. As long as I'm willing to speak out the things that Yahweh has for me. And so it's not strange to me, but I know it is strange to onlookers because so many have been lied to and trained to think that if a person is following Yahweh, then they're not going to have any untoward things happen in their life. You see, this is such a lie. And I think if this experience that has happened to me helps other people to realize that the evil things that happen to them in this world is not the judgment of God against them. It's part of living in this world. You know, if they can understand that and have that lie broken in their own life, then it's really worth it to me to have my stuff in ashes.
The one thing that, one of the biggest things that God has been teaching me this last year is justice. The word justice and justify. And so, you know, his laws, in my words, cannot be violated to the point that if something good or bad happens in an unusual way, that the balance of scale has to come back. And so the bad things, especially the trauma that I went through, I know that someday my life will be restored.
Yes.
If I don't judge myself, then his justice will come.
Right.
And so in a way, in a form, in my opinion, there's certain things that we may think and see are bad.
Right.
Are not bad because God's justice has to be fulfilled.
Right.
Because his laws are a balance of scale, and he cannot take somebody, in my opinion, and treat them in a better way than somebody else.
Right.
It has to, his justice has to be fulfilled.
Well, I think we see that in the life of Job, for example, because Satan brought these horrible things into Job's life. He lost his children, his wife, cursed God. He himself had these terrible lesions all over his body. His friends condemned him. And all of this was brought by Satan, not by Yahweh. Yahweh allowed it to happen. But in the end, he restored twice as much to Job in every area as what had happened originally. And there's a justice in that. Yes, I have been preaching and teaching about the four winds. I've done that. And I've talked about these winds blowing through the earth and the destruction that it's bringing. Now I've been through that in my own life. And yeah, all my stuff is burned up, but what is of value in my life is not burned up. And I hope they will do as well.
Just as a witness to you, I've had miracles happen too. So to the same counter, the degree of like the pendulum, the bad, there's the good has come back.
Right.
In almost every respect.
Right. I find that too.
And I mean miracles. Like you cannot explain some of the things that have happened to me and they have been good.
I understand.
So I don't want people or you to think that some people just think that the bad just comes.
Right.
And it's not true.
No, and I certainly don't feel that way. Anybody that knows me should realize I'm not a pessimist. What we're talking about here are spiritual principles.
Yes.
And we do have to face, I mean, we live in a world that the system that we live in is governed by Satan. So it's really being marshaled against Yahweh and his people. And so we have to expect tribulation will come into our lives, especially if we rise up and actually do something on behalf of the kingdom. But on the other hand, Yahweh is the one who is the most powerful. It really belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. And the blessings come from him. And the blessings in my life far exceed my stuff getting burned up. It's just stuff.
Yes.
And you know what? Messiah himself said that about stuff. He said, store up your treasures in heaven where moth and thieves do not consume. See, on this earth, our stuff is—it's all transitory anyway. And what's important is the eternal.
It's interesting. The next word he gave me was a ground, and he had me look at the ground, and this is what he told me: it has been scorched and is something of a blessing. It will bring forth new life and a purity of my hand through my nature, and it had to be scorched. Hmm. And then it's interesting about the dictionary term of ground. It says a basis for belief, action, or argument.
Mm.
So it's a definition that you and I probably wouldn't come up with, but that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, and that makes sense to me, too, by the way.
So then the next word was the sky. And the sky was brown and blocked the sun from shining through. This is during the fire when it first came. The enemy came to block my will from entering this man's life. His life is to spread the pure light into the world. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And now this enemy will not touch him like this. In other words, I got that this form of
attack.
An attack, yes. Because my justice and my laws.
Mm-hmm.
And the interpretation of the sky is the upper atmosphere or expanse of space that constitutes an apparent great vault or arch over the earth.
Mm.
Then just to conclude that portion of it, in conclusion, you just bring forth all that I have called you to do from this spot and rebuild until I tell you otherwise. And honestly, I didn't know you were going to rebuild here.
Yeah.
So when I put these words down, it's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Well, and I'd like to add that probably a lot of people wouldn't. In fact, a lot of people aren't who are in this fire because it's just so devastating. You know, this was such a beautiful place and now it's all burnt. So, you know, it was really in question, and I really gave a lot of thought to it for various reasons.
And you told me that at one point you were thinking not coming back.
Yeah, I really thought of that, of moving someplace else instead. But you know what Yahweh said to me about that is? He says, everything that belongs to me has to come through the fire. So, I think now will feel more comfortable here. As strange as that seems, because the work I'm doing has to be based in a place that has come through the fire as I and my family have come through the fire.
Yes. And then what happened is God gave me seven words specific to you. And I don't know if you want me to share that or.
Well, why don't we do that? And we'll see what happens with that.
But just in conclusion about the symbols, I mean, it was very clear to me what God wanted me to share with you just as a confirmation. And I'm kind of curious, this the confirmation, was it there? Or?
Oh, totally, yeah. Because before I came back, of course, I had to do business with Yahweh. I was away from this property for 2 months, and I've been seeking him. And I haven't said this to anyone, but the truth is, since the fire, I've not cut my hair. And I've been living as a Nazarite for this period, seeking a word from Yahweh, because obviously I see this as a very important turning point. These events that have happened are very significant, and I've been wanting to hear from him and know exactly what is happening. And so you see, this is very significant, your coming and sharing this message, and it goes right along with what he's been saying to me. This last word that you were sharing about the ministry going forth from here, that's what I see the compass meaning. Like, you're seeing the compass mm-hmm. in the ashes. Well, the compass goes out in all four directions, and the compass is resting right here in the ashes. So that's saying this is the place.
And that's interesting, because the sight, the what I saw inside of me was a compass, but it had all the degrees.
Yeah, right.
All of the 360?
Right.
It had all the degrees, the pointers going out.
Yeah, that's neat. I mean, and that's even better in a way, because it's going in every direction,
yes.
not even just the four directions, yes. but every direction from here.
And what's interesting to me is your studio burnt down.
Right.
I mean, and when I mean burnt down,
yeah.
again,
right.
you don't have like a mic, you say it.
No, nothing, nothing. No, I mean, absolutely nothing. What? But I'm really happy about this. I mean, because from a spiritual perspective, what this is really saying, all this that you just said, is, okay, the property has now gone through the fire. So now we're ready to pursue all the things that Yahweh has told us to do from this place. You know, some people, I think, may have looked at this and said, well, wow, you know, I only moved here a year ago. You might not know that.
No.
But Yahweh moved me here a year ago and made it very clear to me this was the place from which this work is to happen, okay? And then in less than a year, the place burns to the ground. So for a lot of people, I think they might think, well, how could that be right? You know what I mean? It must have been the wrong place or something like that. But they don't really fully understand the heart of Yahweh if they're thinking that, because for him, everything has to go through the fire before he can use it. It's just like you, when he called you into the ministry, the first thing that happened in a spiritual sense is you had to go through the fire, and your heart had to go through the fire to be ready to be able to hear him. And that's how he is. So, yeah, and I don't think it's just me, and I think this might be scary, and we might even lose some people, okay, over this. But this is what's happening to his remnant. Not just me. We're going through the fire. A lot of us are really having problems, different kinds of troubles.
This is kind of what I see, too. There's a huge, like, slow death of the economy worldwide.
Yes.
And it's causing lots of problems and heartache in
right.
people, and including people trying to see God and wonder, why would he do this?
Right.
To me, I see it in a completely different way. I see it in a loving way, because he keeps telling people, get ready, get prepared,
right.
wake up, I'm giving you time. In other words, this isn't a God that's just bam. It's a slow death to give people time to get ready.
And
so,
that is so true, because, and especially the remnant. And the difference is, you see, the world is not going to be ready, but it's the trials, the troubles that the remnant people are experiencing in the world today that is strengthening their heart, that is making them stronger, that is strengthening their faith, that is making them ready so that they can withstand the things that are coming. These are the last days, you know, and it's not all about us being comfortable. It's about us surviving in faith and not giving out in our faith to the end. The one that endures to the end is the one that will be saved.
But he's yelling at people to get ready. So that they'll have the best going through this period coming up.
Right.
His spiritual resources and stuff. In other words, I see a loving father doing that.
Absolutely.
Not an angry father.
I totally agree with you. Even though when you look at our property, it looks like anger. There's no question, like burned right down to ashes. But the anger is not from him. The anger is from the enemy, who really has wanted to wipe out our ministry. That's where the anger is coming from. And nothing but love from Yahweh. He helped us through all of this and to withstand all of this. And we're back. This is what I want to say to the enemy. We're back. Look out. You have some more you wanted to share?
Sure. Yahweh gave me seven words. And again, the sequence of what is happening, he'll give me seven words. And they're always like, you know, order too. So there's seven words and they kind of flow through. And then there's an interpretation of the words. Some of the words are very unique to the individuals. And so he gave me seven words concerning you.
Okay.
And the first word was came. And this is what he wrote after that. You are going to come to a different place than you ever been before. You came when I told you to come. You have followed my teaching. You have led many by teaching them. Come back to the place you started. Act as my son, for you are. Mm-hmm. And I knew this for sure, that this was not a rebuke, but an inspiration for you to go further, because there's something coming on the earth where you've got to go further.
Yes.
And so the word came is the past to come. It's to move towards something. Come here to move or journey to a vicinity with a specific purpose. And so I know that an interpretation by me that in your life that God is saying, hey, you're going to have to go a little deeper. Mm-hmm. Even though you've gone deep,
right.
Deeper.
Right. This is very confirming of things that Yahweh has been saying to me, that this, in fact, is why we're here. This is why he brought us here, is to go to a deeper level. And he promised me that he would live with me here.
Wow. Second word was trust. And he said, come here before me because you'll need to hear me better than you ever have before. Interesting, these words after this. You've come so far, but you must go further. Many are depending upon you to hear my voice. You're my son whom I'm well pleased. You shall become a greater man of God than you ever imagined. Trust completely. So again, it's another word to go further.
Yes.
And I know this, that the people that you're reaching, they're depending upon, they're kind of out there alone. I wouldn't call alone, but, you know, they're out, they're scattered.
Yes.
So they're dependent.
Well, their faces are before me every day.
More after this short break. Dawn here, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about Sion Ministry. The first thing you need to know about us is that we are sharing these programs with you because Yahweh has put it on our hearts to do so for the sake of the scattered remnant of Israel. We don't have some big, well-funded organization or denomination behind us. It is a faith walk for us to bring these programs to you each and every week. We are very excited to see what has been happening since Zion Radio program has been on the air. More and more people from countries around the globe are looking to Zion for messianic truth. We are working hard to meet that growing need, but we must humbly ask for your help. We need your prayers for Yah's provision and protection. Getting our program out to you is a spiritual battle every week, and your prayers can surely help us in that battle. Please actively help us get the word out to others about the program. Tell your friends about it. Send them some of our materials. Your help in getting the word out helps us make the most of our existing airtime. We have lots of things we would like to do on the internet to bless our listeners. We just need more help to be able to do it. If you have internet skills and time to help, could you volunteer? If you do, we will give you an honored place to minister to others with your skills. Lastly, Zion could use your financial support. We are already broadcasting to many nations of the earth, yet that is not enough. We need to broadcast our program on many more stations so that we can reach the scattered remnant in every part of the globe. As you can imagine, all of that airtime is expensive. However, we believe that those who are blessed by our message want to help us continue to share it with themselves and with others. If you want to help the work of Zion in any of these ways, or if you have any feedback or questions, please contact at our website at www.tsiyon.org. And thanks for listening to our program.
Zion.org. Zion.org. Zion.
You are listening to On the Road to Zion with Eliyahu ben David. Now back to Eliyahu ben David. Now we rejoin the interview with Eliyahu and the visiting prophet, Mark.
Third word was town. They shall run from the cities to the places where they cannot be harmed. They think it is in towns, but it is not the place. I'm calling them home to my dwelling house in my town. Lead them to my house. And this was a spiritual thing, and it was not physical, because here's what I interpreted from this is that people think that their safety is in running somewhere or some place for security, including myself, because I've been looking for a literally physical place of safety.
Right.
He's calling people to come back to his house, his dwelling place. Right, and that's what I got out of that.
Yes.
And then the definition of that is a cluster or aggregation of houses recognized as a distinct place with a place or name. Compactly settled area distinguished from surrounding rural territory. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of thought, well, maybe he was telling me that people are going to run from the cities to towns to try and live. But he was trying to say that they're looking for that.
Right.
But they're looking in the wrong place.
Right. And, you know, I see this too. So there's a lot of people today that really see the calamity coming. And many of them are looking for a place of safety, a physical place of safety. And they think their safety lies in all moving together somewhere where they have a big bomb shelter and a big store of food and all of that. I'm not against making physical preparations. I think it's a wise thing to do. But it's not our security. Just like my house burned down and everything in it, if I had had a big store of food, which I didn't, I did have some food storage, what I had all burned up. I mean, you can make all these preparations. You can think you're in a place of safety. But listen, when the calamity comes, it can be total, just like what happened here. And our security must be in him. He is our place of safety. And that makes all the sense to me.
Next word is sight. You have the gift to see. They cannot see. You are their eyes. I made their eyes to see and their ears to hear, but that is different. See for them. Tell them where to go through the darkness that is coming on the earth. Mm-hmm. And the thing I got out of this is I know that people are gifted in the body.
Yes.
And just like me, I've had revelation, but there's a different gift in me now that I see completely different than whatever I have before and different than other people.
Right.
And I think the same is true for you, because some people may interpret that as, hey, I'm just not going to follow some man. Well, yes, follow their voice, but still you have insight that is completely different.
Right.
And is coming from a different source and a different gift than what they have.
Yeah, it's true. And for instance, if you were blind and some calamity happened and you needed to get out of your building, let's say, for instance, there was an earthquake. Well, you need somebody who can see. You need to hang on to that person you can see so that they can be your eyes for you. Well, there's a lot in the spiritual world that many people aren't gifted to see. And Yahweh has provided some people who are seers. They are people who can see. And this is meant to be a gift to the body. It's not meant to be something to dominate people or to hurt anyone or, you know, the sorts of things that everyone fears. But it's meant to be something to bless people.
That's interesting. I shared this with you as I was listening to your tapes for the first time about a week ago. And it's a long drive from where I've come from. So I was putting in tapes and I was listening. And my, I guess, way that I can put this in a simple way is the revelations is so pure, but yet it's in a way that everybody can understand. Mm-hmm. But it's deep revelations. And so when I heard it, I literally was listening to the tape, and I tried to reverse the tape. And as I'm driving, I'm punching buttons. And, you know, all of a sudden, the tape's popping out. And oh, no, I got to – I mean, I listened to one tape four times.
Yeah. Huh.
And so I know that there's something different in you, a gift that is very pure, is my words. So that's what I see.
Well, people sometimes wonder where it comes from,
yes,
what I share. And it doesn't come from some group. It doesn't. It really does come from what Yahweh's given me, and it doesn't originate somewhere else.
So just a view for people. You don't have some staff researching.
No. No. I do. I mean, once in a while, people will send me things, you know, some of my listeners and stuff that are significant, and I appreciate that. But really, it's kind of interesting how most of my programs work is that Yahweh will speak to me about something, and then I will research it from that point, and he will actually lead me in my research. And so that basically is how most of my messages happen.
It's interesting. So then the next word was go. And go, my son, take with you all my power, dominion, and authority. Wreak havoc on the enemy. Make many more like you. Put this in your memory that in big, bold words, that an enemy came to destroy you. Now it's time to wreak havoc on his kingdom.
Amen. I'm really down with that message.
And one of the things that I have been learning just recently is power, dominion, and authority. And authority comes in a position. So God has placed people in positions, you and me, different. But yet the position comes with authority. It's yes. His authority. And I think the centurion in the Bible knew that mm-hmm. when he recognized and Jesus recognized him as how great a faith.
Right.
Because the authority comes, and it doesn't come from anybody but him.
Right.
And so I know that he's telling you to go and take that authority
right.
that
right.
he's already given you.
Right.
And just wreak havoc on the enemy.
Well, as I said, I'm down with that.
So the definition of go is to move on a course, to move out or away from a place expressed or implied. Interesting.
That's the plan.
Well, I think this property will kind of remind you what he tried to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it makes sense. When you see it from that point of view, it makes sense.
Yes. So the next word is command. This is going to be, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'd like to know your perspective on this. And it says, an officer commands and gathers great sorrows in his wake because he sees his troops fight and die. You must look at this differently, my son. We will win. You're commanding my army. Slaughter the enemy in front of you. It's something you must accept. You are my commander. And so my question to you is, do you see people like, oh, my word, if I give them this, some things are going to happen to them? Have you ever known people to, like, get hurt, not harm, but in a way fall away? And so that's the word for you is you got to see it differently. That it's just.
Yeah, you know, the thing about me is I'm a person who has great respect for personal free will. And I very seldom ever tell anyone to do anything. And the truth is, I have spiritual authority to tell people to do things. And I'm kind of reluctant to do that sometimes. So I believe that this is an encouraging word meant to cause me to kind of step forward in that more where that's appropriate. You know, there is, in the kingdom of God is a kingdom. It's not a democracy.
Oh, yes.
And Yahweh does raise people up who have authority to say, do this and do that. And that is how it works. And he is causing us to grow into being a nation. And a nation must have leadership that functions according to the kingdom. This is really what David was about. This is what the kingdom of Messiah is about. And for us to actually become a real nation, the authority that is latent within Israel must be reestablished in a real way. And the truth is, I have lots of programs that talk about the authority in Israel. So it's not something that is a new idea to me. And however, I think this is telling me to move forward and advance in that. And the word commander is a very powerful word, and it goes against the grain. You know, I don't think any of us want to have a commander in our life. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so if Yahweh is saying to move forward in being a commander, obviously this is something that will be opposed and misunderstood for sure. And yet there's a place for this in Israel. And speaking of Israel, I mean the remnant of Israel, restored Israel. And this is a place I need to step up into. And other people, too, are going to be called into positions of leadership or are being called. You know, we have to let go of a lot of our preconceptions and the way that we were raised, what other people think, all of that, to be able to restore Israel. So I really see it like that. I think it relates something Yahweh has shown me a long time ago. And it's really why I'm doing this ministry now. Is because I'm of the family of David. And you see, in Israel, the Davidic family has a responsibility in leadership of the nation. And It just comes from him. It's the Davidic covenant. So that's really what that's saying to me.
Well, Samuel, the last year I was in the desert, and it was a very moving time, very with God. And I was alone with him, and he's speaking to me, and he was telling me that there's positions that he's filling.
Yes.
Not fulfilling, filling.
Filling, right.
And he's giving them authority now, like this hidden kingdom that he's getting ready to bring back.
Right.
I know that he now is choosing.
Right.
And giving them positions, and even though it's a spiritual position, it will become physical someday.
Right.
And that the authority, the power, dominion, authority, whether it's a janitor, at least they have authority right. over a closet.
Right.
But
exactly.
It's all there. You see it coming?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when Yahweh sent Moses to Israel, while they were still in bondage in Egypt, the first people he spoke to were the elders of Israel. You see, Israel at that time had a completely functional government. It was in order, even though they were slaves. Okay, but their tribal government was totally functional. So when the word came for them to leave Egypt, they went out in order.
They're ready.
They were ready. Well, this has to be restored to the remnant of Israel. For us, when the word comes for us to return home to Israel, we're not going out as a mob.
I never thought of it that way. Wow, that is such a huge revelation to me. I mean, I didn't get that. But they've got to be ready. This right. isn't a hodgepodge all of a sudden go.
No.
It's not. It's being planned.
Right. It's all being planned, and it's Yahweh that's planning it, and really the center of that.
Oh, that's just fascinating to me. Yeah. I didn't get it, but that's true.
Right.
Because it's not just a big mob.
Right.
It's coordinated.
Right. So we're going to have to all learn to think differently about issues of authority. That's one of the biggest obstacles that we really have. And we're going to have to think differently about being part of his nation. You know, it has to do with order.
An interesting authority has protection in there. In other words, I don't mind being under somebody as long as they're going to protect me.
Right.
So authority is different. It's not like a guy going to beat me.
Right.
It's a guy that's going to love me and take care of me.
Exactly. And of course, you know, in different circumstances, different people have authority. So we all have to be able to submit to authority. For instance, in a certain area, if you have a prophetic word, well, you have authority to speak that prophetic word. But someone else might have a different gift. And when Yahweh's using them, you better respond to what they're doing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But it's his authority that really has to be coming forth, not just human ego.
So, this is interesting. The next word he gave me was authority.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Authority means his governance, and this is what he said, his governance with power. weren't we just talking about this?
Right. Governance.
As governance with power, you shall lead many people with this authority. I cannot believe it. I'm just shocked.
You wrote it down, but you didn't know. You didn't even know. Yeah.
No. For there's a position. Oh. This is just amazing. I didn't know this.
Yeah, I know. Well, you've only been listening to our programs for 5 days.
Yeah, and let me just read this again, but it's exactly what we were just talking about. It's governance with power. You shall lead many people with this authority, for there is a position. I am bringing my children back to my land with all authority is given. Where? All authority is given. No one earns this unless they earn this through my will. Your authority is to lead them back, and you will. I forgot.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about that. Right. You were going to take command and the authority he's given you.
Right.
That's what it is.
I accept this word.
Wow. I'm sorry.
This is my mission.
And then authority is a citation as from a book or a file used to defend or support, the source of which all citation is drawn. So like citation to me, again, I believe in words and things that God writes. And what I see is almost like a seal in a book or a stamp that you've given authority to open up and grant or sealed up. It's
right,
written.
Right.
It's pure authority. He's giving you that, and your name's written in a book, and this is your position. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. Let me put it that way.
Well, this is new to me, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, there's a reason why in my programs I'm able to teach things to people that they've never heard before, that have never been taught before in living memory. And it's not just an accident. And it's not because I'm a smart guy. It's because Yahweh has given me authority, first of all, to know those things and then to share those things. The reason I know them is because of who I am in His kingdom. And in saying that, I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm trying to point to Him. See, true authority comes forth from Him. And we need to start looking at people that way. Because if you meet me, you're going to find out I'm an imperfect guy, okay? I have faults. And you might turn away from me because you don't like some of the mannerisms in my life. Maybe you don't like the food I eat. There's lots of different things. And we tend to do this. We look at people according to who they are in the flesh. And we don't understand sometimes the position that God has set people in the spirit. It's not just me I'm talking about here. Because like we're talking about, there's this whole structure of authority in the nation of Israel. And we were talking about seeing. We all need to learn. We have to start seeing people this way, according to who they are in the spirit, instead of just who they are in the flesh. Because as Yahweh has established me in a certain position in His kingdom, let them try, and they will. They will try to dislodge me from that position. Satan will try to dislodge me from that position, but if Yahweh has set a person in that position, nobody's going to dislodge them from that place.
Because they have power and dominion.
Right, exactly. And I know the authority that I have. But in the past, because of that, I have been reluctant to fully exercise that. And what I feel from this is Yahweh is calling me to grow in that. And so, I'm taking this seriously. And I think I need to allow people to know that this is happening.
Can I ask you this question? Do you think this has been like a witness? In other words, this is no new revelation that I'm presenting to you. This is all a witness to things that He's been...
Yes.
Wow. That means so much to me.
Yeah.
Because it's never been to tell you what to do. It's been to submit to you and give you this as a confirmation.
Yeah, it all totally tracks with the things that He has said to me. And of course, we don't even know each other.
No. No.
So this really is something of Him. And I'm excited about it because what this means is that everything has happened that needs to happen now for this next phase of the work to go forth from this burned out cinder of a place.
And it is burned out. It's kind of fascinating to watch what's going to happen. Please don't think take this wrong. I'm kind of excited that the place burned down.
Me too.
I hope you don't take that wrong. I mean, I just
not at all.
I still see these guys, the apostles. They're standing around with Jesus. I mean, these people are out to destroy them. They're plotting to destroy them.
Right.
They're plotting, meaning,
right.
Hey, let's get together. And they're talking and trying to figure out ways to destroy them.
Right.
And so they're going, oh, Jesus, aren't you going to help us here? I mean, what, you know?
Right.
Yahweh, I mean, give me a break. They're trying to kill us. Yeah, yeah. I know. Uh-huh. Don't worry about it. Right. Most people don't, they don't see it that way anymore. For some reason, right. We forgot that. Paul was beaten.
Right.
Shipwrecked. And so was the shipwreck bad. You know, I'm just telling you, I see this fire differently.
Right. No, I hear you. And of course, I've been engaged in this particular battle for over 30 years. Yahweh called me into the mission over 30 years ago. And I've seen many times when the enemy has attacked, sometimes very severely. So I don't have any stars in my eyes about what war is really about. And this is part.
Do you think that Yahweh or God allows the attack, but only a certain amount? In other words, yeah, you can do this and then allows the enemy to do it, but then it brings part his justice. Do you see that too?
Yes, I do.
So do I
believe that sometimes when Yahweh allows the enemy to do certain things, it's strategic.
Yes, I do too.
And that's what absolutely. I see about this fire. You know, the enemy, it was filled with rage about what our plans were here. Yahweh was totally blessing us in getting ready for this next big phase that we know we've got coming. So we were, you know, building this platform from which to launch this next phase. That's really what this property is. And so we were building this studio and, you know, many new capacities in this. And we were really getting set for this next big phase. The enemy saw this coming and brought this fire to destroy it. And Yahweh let that happen because actually this provides the spiritual platform now from which we can strike back much harder at the enemy. And that's what we're going to do from this place.
Wow. I believe it. And it's interesting, just my own life. I've looked back on my Christian beliefs and the good and the bad, the balance of scales and the justice. And to the degree that you're going to see God, in my view, over 30 years of walking with him, 35 years, is I've had some very unusual things that most people would say were just horrible.
Right.
Couldn't be God.
Right.
But they were, because then up to 100-fold it came back.
Right.
And it depended upon how much I forgave.
Right.
And how much I let go.
Right. And, you know, I want to say, I never, ever accuse God of bringing evil on anyone.
I don't either.
But he does allow the yes. enemy sometimes to do that. The evil things come from the enemy. And sometimes Yahweh will allow it for the good of his kingdom and for the good of the person.
Yes, because you have to go to Luke. People need to look at Luke 11. I mean, these were prophets, and many men were murdered and persecuted, but God used that.
Yes.
And I still believe the blood of the prophets is crying out.
Yeah, it is.
It's interesting, I believe that the Holy Spirit now, because of that, God's justified for this time, just like Daniel. And is it Daniel 12 where he talks mm-hmm, about, mm-hmm. you know, he saw the man on the shore, but he said, no, that's sealed up for the end time.
Right. Yeah.
I believe it's sealed up and that blood is crying out that now through people like me and you to speak out the prophetic things.
Right.
The justification came from those men.
Right.
And so I have an obligation
right.
as a man of God to speak for those men that died.
Yes.
Does that make some sense?
It makes more than a little sense. You know, Israel is one unified whole. I'm talking about true Israel. I'm talking about faithful Israel. Going all the way back, it's one whole. And this is part of the reason why we keep Shabbat. This is part of the reason why we do the feasts. You see, all of these things tie us together, and there's this mystical truth of the unity of Israel. And this is something eternal. Israel is eternal. The truth is, that's what we need to walk in. And these men were our brothers.
you know, and in a certain sense, in the spirit, I know Ezekiel. I know Daniel.
Yes.
I know who they are. Yeah. I know David, my
they're
father.
Men.
Yes, I know them. And they're part of this eternal structure that God has built, this eternal nation. And we just happen to be on the stage right now. It's up to us at this particular time. We're this generation of Israel, but we're carrying forward something that's much bigger than we are, and it's going into something much bigger than we are. This is our moment.
It's our time.
Yeah. So don't blow it. You know, give your all. That's really
and
what...
Really, this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, they set the foundation, but we're it.
Right.
We're putting the roof on.
Yeah, and we're going. We're doing it. We're going to do it.
Wow.
So do we go through it all?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for obeying Yahweh. And I thank you that even though you had some trepidation about sharing the message, that you spoke up and you obeyed God. And I pray that you'll be blessed in the ministry, the mission that Yahweh has given you, and that you will rise up fully within that and do all that Yahweh has in mind for you. And I thank him for sending a man of God here to set the stage for this next great push that's going to happen from this place.
Well, thanks. I'm absolutely humbled that it was God and that he would use me in this way. I mean, I really feel blessed.
You are listening to On the Road to Zion with Eliyahu ben David.
Okay.
T.
Zion.org. Zion.
You have been on the road to Zion with Eliyahu ben David and me. I'm Dawn. To hear us streamed live on the internet worldwide, visit our website at tsiyon.org. Do you love the scattered remnant of Israel as we do? If so, then we need your faithful prayer and financial support to extend the reach of this message to every corner of the globe. Volunteers are needed to partner with us in every aspect of this vital work. If you feel moved to help, or if you just want to learn more about Zion, please visit our website at tsiyon.org. And while you're at the website, you can get your free gift and leave us some feedback so we can keep in touch. On behalf of Eliyahu ben David and myself, thank you for walking this stretch of road with us on the road to Zion. Shalom.
House of Israel, weep for joy. Throw them
not forsaken you. You are my